longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Let us stand our feet while we sing it, and then the pastor can come. Pardon me,
each and every one, and I really enjoyed Brother Laurie this morning. I believe it was a word from the Lord, and I'm not sure what age Brother Laurie is, but I think when he first come to us, he was meant to be 83. That's a while ago now, but I don't know. But may the Lord bless him, he's going on strong still, no matter but his age, isn't it great? Praise God, and the Lord's so good, isn't it? I've been real betwixt tonight because I want to preach, continue, which I'm going to do on the greatest of all Bible men. Then I was thinking about the spirit of Elijah. I know I did preach it before, but I've been thinking a lot about it recently. Maybe some people don't really understand it. Maybe I should preach it again, so, but we'll just see what the Lord does. But tonight I want to continue on a bit, and I'm only hitting the highlights because the subject of the Lord's unending, and there's so many things you could tick and types and shadows and everything, it could never end. But we just trust the Lord will help us tonight. Let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah 11 verse 1, and I'm thinking of the greatest of all Bible men, and I want to first of all look at the branch. Isaiah 11 verse 1, and the Lord bless you all this evening, praise God. And I believe I haven't got to hear Brian on, but I think Brian was preaching It would have been his morning and our last night, probably. That would have been the first time. But isn't it great he's back in the pulpit and everything after everything had happened, and the doctor told him if it had been one day later, it would have been really bad. He mightn't have been here. But God's hand was on him. And I believe the Lord's a lot more for him. Praise God. Let's read Isaiah 11, verse 1, and then we're going to pray. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Let's bow our heads tonight. If you have a need tonight, lift your hand up before the Lord this evening, and we'll remember you in prayer. And you pray for me as well. Can you pray for me as well? I don't know if I broke a rib or cracked a rib, but hurt myself on Friday. Heard an awful pop and full of painkillers since. And when they wear off, it's sore. So, but you pray for me as well. I was holding my hand here this morning when Brother Larry prayed for everybody and believe on the Lord. And God is a healer. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you tonight for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth that you have shown toward us. We just bless your name, Lord Jesus, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, we thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb of God tonight. And Lord, I pray you'll forgive me and each one of us every sin, every wrong thought, every word, every deed. Sanctify us and wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb of God tonight. Lord, I do take the Holy Spirit to help me right now, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit, and I pray especially for the hands that's raised tonight. You know, every individual and every individual need. Lord, your word tells us you're touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And Father, I pray and ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you indeed will meet every single need for each one in Jesus' precious name. Lord, it's already been prayed. We pray for those that need your healing touch, that you'll touch them, you'll heal them, you'll minister unto them. And for Brother Brian, Brother Hart, it's been prayed. We do say amen. That you'll continue, Lord, to touch and bless them, and our sister Eiling as well, and my own sister, and any others perhaps that we don't know about, but Lord, that people are praying for even in this room. Father, that you'll touch them, that you'll minister unto them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us tonight, Lord, if we open your word, bind it strong, man, and may every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. You may be seated, and if you're too cold, close a window. Praise God. It's hot when we get in here tonight. We're like an oven. And I know it's easy enough to sleep at the best of times. And it's hard preaching to people that are sleeping, so do your best. Keep the eyes open. You know, God's good, isn't he, for all? It can happen to any of us. Praise God. But my dad used to say she's a prison at night and a hotel in the morning when he's talking about the bed. Hard to get into it, then it's hard to get out of it. But the Bible tells us he gives his beloved rest. And the Bible says it's foolish to sit up late and to rise early. And when you're getting up early, you need to be in bed early. Praise God. And he gives his beloved rest. Thank God. The branch. Revelation 5, and I'm thinking the greatest all Bible man. And we see here this rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Revelation 5:5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. And I tell you, we could go into it tonight. I won't go into it all. But there was no other Bible man worthy to open them seven seals but the Lord Jesus Christ. The branch he's known as here that come off this stem. And you could go in through Isaiah and even look at it more, but I'm just looking at it briefly. But John wept, no one was found worthy. But the Lion of the tribe of Judah prevailed, and he loosed the seven seals of the book, which were sealed. It was a seven-seal book. And you know, even in those mysteries about the Antichrist, and it's just going over it all the day. It's reading so many different things. It's everywhere the day. And I mean everywhere in studying, not physically. But it was a mystery, and a lot of the early churches didn't know who the White Horse Rider was. But God, in the last church age, promised that he would show us the mysteries, and he has. And we know it's the Antichrist. And we know that Antichrist, it's going to be a pact made with Israel, and they're going to break the treaty and everything. It's a massive big subject. I'm going to have to get into it. My heart's desire is, and I want you to pray about this. I haven't asked Brian yet, and I don't know when he'd be able, but I'd love Brother Brian to come over here for at least 2 weeks of meetings. Not just for a Friday and a Saturday night. I want him to come and do 2 full weeks of meetings every night for 2 weeks, and to take the whole book of Revelations right through. The rapture, the millennium reign, the whole thing, and the mark of the beast in your banks. You pray about it. The Holy Spirit spoke to me strongly about Brother Brian. The Spirit of God come on me in a powerful way while I was sitting in a van. I wasn't physically working, I was watching in the yard. And the Spirit of God came over me and spoke to me about Brother Brian. And I sent him a message, what God, the Holy Spirit, told me. And the Lord's worked for him yet. He's not finished with Brother Brian, no matter what age he is. It'll make no difference to God. And the Lord has spurred him here and kept him for a reason. We need him to come. I don't know when he'll come. And to take it up, I can do it, but I struggle to do it where that's his ministry. Mine's more evangelistic. But we need all the fivefold ministry. Isn't that right? And I believe Brother Brian's called to bring them things out and pray for him, that the strength of God will come on his body physically. And then he'll come over here, praise God. Zechariah 6 and 12, and speak unto him, saying, thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch. And he shall grow up out of his place and shall build the temple of the Lord. So many scriptures that refer to the Lord as the branch. Zechariah had a vision of the Lord when he wrote of him, behold the man whose name is the branch. He had the vision of the Lord being the branch. Isaiah 4 verse 2 says, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. All about the branch. Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. A righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. You see, the Bible talks about David's throne. And there's a David's throne that's talking about the David, the greater David, the Lord Jesus, that's going to live and we're going to reign in this earth for the Lord 1,000 years. Then after that, God's going to have a kingdom after that. There's a new heaven and a new earth. After all that, 1,000 years is going to be nothing to what we're going to have with the Lord, because there's a new heavens and a new earth coming. After 1,000 years. There's a lot of stuff which is still to happen for the believer. It's wonderful what's ahead of us. And like me and Brother Gary and a couple of brothers who were sharing this morning, the most important thing is to be saved. To be saved. And that's for our loved ones, the most important thing is to see them saved. And we need to continue in prayer that they'll get saved. And not give up on them. Keep praying. Keep claiming them. Keep pleading the blood over them. And they might look as if they're 1,000 miles away, but don't you look at that. You look at the Word of God. Keep claiming them in. Amen. Jeremiah 33:15, in those days and at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Zechariah 3:8. I'm just giving these scriptures all about the branch. Hear now, Joshua, you're the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a branch, just as a branch is dependent The branch is dependent on the real stem of the tree, the root of the tree. And the branch comes out of the tree. So while Christ was on earth, Christ thought of himself as a branch. While he was on the, he thought of himself as a branch while he was on earth. Because the Lord Jesus says, I can do nothing of myself. Only what the Father shows me, that will I do. He was the branch. He was always dependent on the Father, and he did nothing, only what the Father showed him. John 5, verse 19, then Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he saith the Father do. For whatsoever things soever he doth, these also doth the Son likewise. He is the branch. He is the branch. It is Jesus dependent upon the Father, and he was. And how also, as branches, we're branches as well. We're abiding in him. We're dependent in him. Now, if Jesus depended upon the Father, we need to depend upon the Lord. And the Bible says that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. John 15, verse 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So you see, Jesus was the branch. And there was a branch that bore much fruit. And we are branches that are in the Lord. And if we're ever going to be any good of a branch, and we're ever going to bear fruit, we need to abide in him. And just as he abided in the Father and the Father in him, we need to abide in him. We need to be continually abiding in the Lord. Amen? We need him in our life every day, many times in the day. We would all make mistakes, do things we shouldn't do. And like a brother Larry preached this morning, we could get garments that we need to get rid of. And we could get things we need to get rid of in our life. And they need tore off, pulled down, thrown away. And the Bible says, lay aside the sin, the weight that doth so easily beset you, that you'll be able to run the race. And I tell you, you'll never ever see a marathon runner that's running for a record with a pack on his back. He won't even carry water with him. You'll not even see him carrying water. As he runs along the sides of the race, there might be water on a table somewhere, and he'll get it, and he'll have a drink or two, and he goes on again. He cannot afford to carry any weight. The journey's too hard and too long for him to carry any weight. And Paul says, we are running in a race, and we're to lay aside every weight, everything that besets us, and we're to strip down to the minimum what we need. And there's no point taking with us the things we don't need. But there's a lot of people think they're taking stuff with them, but they're not. They're going to be took away from it. They're going to be leaving it. But I tell you, God wants us to abide in him. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And I tell you, it's only by the Lord this morning, and we heard about Elijah and Elisha. Now, Elisha never ever could have come back to them that broke. And Elisha never could have ordered it depart like Elijah did without that mantle. But it's only because he had the mantle of Elijah that he was able to do what Elijah done. If he had went back with no mantle, nothing would have happened. He had to have the mantle of Elijah. And because he had the mantle of Elijah, the power of God was there. And he smote the waters, and departed hither and thither. And he went across just the way Elijah went across. And we need the mantle of the Holy Spirit. And we talked, and Brother Laurie mentioned it, we talk about Pentecost and the power of God. But we need the same mantle they had. The same baptism they had. The same anointing they had. We needed to do what they had done. And we could never do what they had done without what they had. It'll take what they had. And the first thing it takes is into a place called Straight Street. Not Crooked Street. God brings us out of Crooked Street. But there's some Christians are still in Crooked Street. For they're the biggest bunch of twisters and throwers. But that's a sin. twisting thrown, I believe, is a sin. And it spoils the blessing of God. But God wants us in straight street, not crooked street. In the place called straight. And he can move with us and work with us. And the disciples were in straight. Isn't it like the wheel in the midst of the wheel? When the wheel in the midst of the wheel could go any way it wanted to go, but it always was straight. You don't read of it going round corners, it was always straight. But it could go left or right, but it was still straight. And I tell you, God takes us forward straight, doesn't it? Amen? And you'll meet people and they want you to answer silly questions. The Bible says don't waste your time. More or less, that's what the scripture's saying. You're not to waste your time. Some people want foolish questions answered. It's only a waste of time. A soft answer turns away wrath. Isn't that the Bible? Praise God. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and it's withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burnt. And I tell you, many's a winter spent with a wee friend gathering up the branches. And we used to cut the branches down of the trees and you put them down in the middle and then the boy come with a wee tractor and she chopped them up. She chopped them up and they just were wasted. Or if they're too big, they're burnt. And then the trees, the branches had to be clipped back at them. They had to be clipped back hard. And when I first seen it done, I thought to myself, boy, this boy's getting carried away the way he's cutting these back. He's, you know, he's ruining them. But he knew what he was doing. And then when the year turns round and the season's coming in again and they start putting forth shoots, you have to go at them again. They need pruned and then they need the shoots plucking on them. Because the too many shoots, you don't want too many branches coming forth in the tree because the tree will not be able to put out good fruit and too many. It just has to be rightly balanced and then shall grow actually more fruit when it's rightly balanced and you have to pluck back them wee boys that grow forward, pluck them back and you pull them back and don't let them grow. And then there comes beautiful fruit. And I've told you before, and there, but because I can see it in my mind every time I look at it. Wee Stanley, he called him. And boy, the woman said to him, Stanley, do you think you could trim that tree? And I'm kidding you not, her sister was, her and her husband were moving house. And they were staying with her for a few months. There were Christian people that went to, were heavily involved with the Elam movement, really heavily involved with. And the sister and her husband was full time in the Lord's work and they'd retired. And they were moving house. And they were staying with this, the sister in law, she was a widow. And this tree was blocking out the back a bit and she wanted slightly trimmed. And I tell you, when that woman came home and seen the tree, she was near crying. Stanley trimmed it all right. He left her only half a tree. And the sister says, my goodness, does he know what he's doing? But you see, the next year, it just worked out beautiful. He shaped it. He could see what he was doing. They couldn't see it. But he could see it because he'd done hundreds of them. And he knew where to take off it and where to leave on it. And he left it just right. It didn't look right at the time. It looked terrible. But it grew out good. It grew out good, thank the Lord it grew. Because it looked bad at the time. But I tell you, sometimes the Lord clips us back, his branches were cut back, and it's tough. But that sort will bring forth fruit. Amen. And I tell you, may the Lord help us. We can do nothing apart from Christ, the branch. The purpose of the branch is to bring forth the fruit. And I tell you, if you take all the branches out, then you have nothing for the fruit either. So we need the branches, praise God. And Jesus Christ brought forth the fruit. And not only did he bring forth the fruits, he's the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead. So not only did he bring forth the fruit and produce fruit, but he's the first fruits from the resurrection from the dead. He's the first one. And after him, every believer that's saved will follow. And death will have no power over them. Let me read you this greater than Solomon is here. Now Christ's life live in you. Then if the first life that came out of that branch, now he has no hands now, but yours and mine. He has no voice, but mine and yours see. The vine doesn't bear fruit, the branches bear fruit. And if the branch that bore in the first limb that came out of that grapevine, as I said, wrote in the book of Acts behind it. If it ever puts forth another original vine, you write another book of Acts behind it. It'll be the same spirit, because it's the same life in the entire vine. The bright spurs will be there. And I tell you, when we get the real Pentecostal experience, we won't have to produce nothing. That experience in us, the Holy Spirit will do it through us. We just yield to Him. It's like I say many times, you come here and you do your part. God has to do His part. Because that's the part me and you cannot do. A preacher, no matter how good a man can preach, it's an evangelist. He doesn't save nobody. If he does, they won't last a week, I'll tell you that. You could get loads of decisions, and in a month's time, there's not one of them. Because maybe they were influenced to do something and make a decision. But if the Holy Spirit really speaks and really moves and you get decisions, then that's God that spoke to that person. That's God that's moved in that person. It'll last a lifetime. You know, a woman came to William Mullen one time, and she said to William Mullen, "I seen one of your converts down the street." And he said, "Did he?" Says, "Oh, he was drunk." And William Mullen said, "Praise God." And she says to William Mullen, "That's not much of a thing from a pastor saying, praise God." He says, "Well, if he had him in the Lord's conversion, he wouldn't have been down the street drunk. But he must have been William Mullen's conversion right enough." That's what he said. "For if he's the Lord's conversion, he wouldn't have been down the street drunk. He'd have been serving the Lord." And I tell you, somebody can give you their version of the Holy Spirit, but it'll not do much. But if you get the real Holy Ghost, it'll do something. And when you really get born again, you're a new creature. Amen. Jesus Christ, the greatest one, isn't it? Then here's the last Adam. He's the last Adam as well. That's what the Bible calls him. Greatest of all Bible men, the last Adam. Christ is not spoken of as the second Adam, but the last Adam. Now, many times I might have referred to that, but you knew what I meant, but it's really the last Adam. You see, there's no further federal head to come. That's what I mean. There's no further federal head to come. I saw a debate people were having, and there were Catholic people and the debate with Pentecostal people, and they were saying, the Catholic people were saying, "Well, we don't pray directly to Mary, but we use Mary in our prayers, and we use the saints in our prayers." But the problem is, Mary's dead, and the saints are dead. But it is the Lord Jesus Christ that raised from the dead. And we are not scripturally permitted to pray to no saint, no prophet or priest, only the Lord Jesus Christ. For He's living. Amen. And that's why I often say the living sacrifice. He's living. And we're to pray to Him. And we don't need Mary. Jesus Christ does not need a hand. And I thank the Lord we can come straight to Him. He's the second Adam, or the last Adam. 1 Corinthians 15, 40, 45. "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul." Brother Laurie quoted this verse this morning. "The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven." And when you think of the tabernacle, and it's a real principle, and you remember it, and I'm sure you do. But every time you think of the color blue, think of the Lord from heaven. He come the whole way from heaven. And He came to save us and deliver us. Adam was the head of the human race. Christ is the head of the spiritual race. Mankind is divided into two, in Adam or in Christ. Amen. The first was created out of the dust of the earth. Genesis 2, verse 7, "The Lord formed a man out of dust of the ground and breathed into him the life, and man became a living soul." The last was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And that's why we don't believe in three persons in the Godhead either. Because if you have three persons in the Godhead, Jesus Christ would have two fathers. But He cannot have two fathers. God is His Father. Luke 1:35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." The Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary. God is the Father of Jesus. The first Adam was innocent. When he was made by God, but he became a sinner, didn't he? He was innocent when God made him, but he became a sinner. Now he took Eve, knowing it, because he's the type of Christ. The last was born holy and remained sinless. And even though he took all our sin upon him, think of this tonight. Even though he took all our sin upon him, he was still sinless. Amen. The only man born of a woman without the penalty of original sin on him, Christ. Then Adam was a man and remained a man, developing human frailties. That was the first Adam. The last was made a quickening spirit, a life-giving Savior. He never developed no frailties. He's a life-giver. And he's a life-giver then, and he's a life-giver now. He's the only one that could say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man. Think of that now tonight. This is why he's the greatest of all Bible men. No man come on to me except my Father draws him. No man can know him save to him whom the Son will reveal him. It takes the Lord to do it in you. Praise God. The first Adam was of the earth, earthly, natural. The last Adam is from heaven, heavenly. 2 Corinthians 15, 47 to 49. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as he is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And that's why the Bible says we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We were earthly, but we're born again. Now there's something heavenly in us already. Heavenly. Thank God for that. Verse 49. And as we're born the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. John 3:13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now I'll tell you that there, they didn't know what they're going to do with that. He said he was in heaven and he was in heaven and he came to earth and he's in heaven. And he said, before Moses was I am. They said, you're not even 50. How could you be before Moses? Because he pre-existed. He pre-existed. And the Bible says all things are made for him. And by him was not anything made that's made. He's the beginning of the creation of God. Amen. Praise God. As Adam and Eve were in the garden and did not finish out the 1,000 years. Now Jesus, the last Adam, and his Eve, the true bride, the church, will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. So they failed to live and reign the 1,000 years. Sin got the better of them. But we're going to live and reign, Christ and his bride, 1,000 years in the millennial reign. Praise God. Greatest of all Bible men. Here's another thing about him that you can say about the greatest of all Bible men, but you can't say this about no other man. He's the Word of God. You cannot point me at a man and say, here, that man's the Word of God, because he is not. The holiest prophet or good preacher or anything, you cannot say that about them. They're not. They were sinners, born sinners. Now we believe there's good men of God, and we heard this morning, we believe that. But he was the Word of God. Jesus Christ was the Word of God. John alone uses a glorious name describing Christ's return in power and glory. He says his name is called the Word of God. You see me tonight? So this greatest of Bible men in Revelation 19:13, and he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. Now what other man can you say that about? His name's called the Word of God. None. There's only one. The Lord Jesus Christ. It is only by God's grace and mercy that we can comprehend or conceive what's really in his lovely name. And a brother Jordy said to me coming in, without the Holy Spirit, revelation, we'll never really fully understand the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit to help us, to open our understanding. And it's like a man that's not saved. That's why I believe the Holy Spirit works in someone for them to get saved. The Holy Spirit already has moved on them. Now, I know the baptism's different, but if you're saved, you're already, the Holy Spirit's already moved on you. So don't ever say, I don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. You do if you're saved. He moved you to get saved. Amen? Thank God for it. God's grace. John speaks of Christ as being the Word from a dateless past. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. From a dateless past. He came into time. Come into time. But before there was time, an eternity passed. As words are the expression of a thought, so Christ came as an expression, as a revealer of the Father. He revealed the Father. He made known the Father. He said, him that's seen me, seen God. I'm revealing him. Amen. In the Old Testament, it was God above. In the New Testament, it was God with us. God with us in flesh. And now we have the Holy Spirit, God in spirit, still with us. The Holy Spirit, but the same one. Amen. One God. One God. Like the man that does the play and he changes his mask because of Morpha. But it's the same one. God's stepping in to them different offices. Come on. Look when you go right back where he's Melchizedek. And he makes himself a body back there. And he comes and he stands before Abraham. And he eats with him and everything. The same one God. It's wonderful, isn't it? Amen. He is the culmination of the revelation of the Father. 1 John verse 18. John 1 verse 18. No man, and I'm closing in a moment. No man have seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That means he's made him known. He's revealed him. He's made him known. Aren't you glad he's made him known to you tonight? Amen. And if you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got the one true God. You've got him. Praise God. John 14, verse 8 to 11. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I but so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that have seen me have seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. Where did the Father dwell? In Christ. How much of him? Fullness. That's the difference. There's a difference right there. Now we could surely say, God's in us. That's not wrong to say that. That's scripturally correct. Who believes God's in you tonight? God's in you. Holy Spirit. But Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead, dwelt in him. Do you realize the Lord Jesus couldn't sin? But there's no way you can say that about any or man. You could say the opposite. If the Lord doesn't keep me, I'll not last a week. Is that the truth? Well, I'm telling you for me. Maybe the rest of you is different than me, but I need the Lord every day. I need the Lord's help. Many mistakes I make. Many times I say a thing and 10 minutes later I say to myself, I shouldn't have said nothing. I've said too much. I shouldn't have said a thing. And then I'm away praying, saying, Lord. And Jesus teaches us to pray. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. That's why we'll need the blood of the Lord till we go. But it's available. That's the wonderful thing about it. Isn't it wonderful? Praise God. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. Now we've only looked briefly at the explicit names, briefly. But let me say this as I come to close tonight. But there are 365 names and titles given of the Lord Jesus Christ. 365 names and titles given to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. So you could preach in every single one of them. It would take you a long time. But I was very near going to go out at a full list. I was going to do it all out, and then I thought, no. If I do that, I'm going to have too much. And he's one thing in Micah and Matthew, and he's, oh, there's a list of stuff I have. And I'd studied it all out. And then I thought, if I do that, it'll take too long. And everything, and it's, I couldn't remember it all. I'd have to put it all down. And then you might be here too long tonight. But isn't the Lord wonderful? Always remember his name is above every other name. Every other name. My, I'm closing, and the brother guy's going to come. But let me tell you this. I've seen a clip of a wee woman. I don't know if anybody else seen it. I'm not sure where it was on, where it was Facebook or one of them places. But you know them ones that wear the things around their heads and stuff? What do you call that religion? Muslim. They were having a big rally in Texas somewhere. And there's a woman come out over through the midst of the whole lot of them. And there was men with their beards and all. You know how they dress up. And she grabbed a hold of the microphone. Boys, I was saying, Lord, grease her elbow sort of thing. And she just said, I want to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord in Texas. And I don't believe in Muslim and all that there stuff. She gave the whole thing a blast. And by the creditor, to get her out of the way, but she got it out. She got it out, boy, before they could do a thing. It was great. And we need Christians with that sort of boldness. That'll know not to be sitting back when they should go forward and proclaim Christ as Lord. Proclaim Christ as Lord. Let's stand and preach tonight and listen to me. There's a young man I want you to pray for. There's nothing wrong with him. It's quite the opposite. Jonathan Buckley, he's a politician. I want you to pray for that young man. He's the only politician worth anything, I think, at the minute, anyhow. He's as good as 10 of any of the rest of them I've heard. Jonathan Buckley, you pray for him. He's saying the truth, what he's saying. And he's a saved fella. And I tell you, I know there's perhaps others, but I want you to pray for him. I feel we should pray for him. The enemy does not want the truth. There's a lot of others. They'll say, oh, we believe not what he's believing and all. But they've never opened their mouth. I've never heard them say some of the things. They've never took the stand. But you pray for that young man. I think that's his right name. Do you know, Brother Gary? That's his right name, isn't it?
There's two good ones. Timothy
Garston, he's
from
Port Down. That's the one from Port Down. I actually know it brother well. I tell you what, the devil skins them boys. But you pray for them. We need leaders with backbone. And the Bible says pray for those in authority. Isn't that the scripture says? And we need to pray for the right man. He's the right man in. I'm telling you that. He could go to the top. Because some of Ian Casey's own son, and I know where this is recorded. But I'll tell you what, he's a big letdown. He is a complete letdown. He couldn't lace Ian Paisley's shoes. That's just the truth of it. He's a compromiser.
That's right. Amen.
He'd rather pray for cigarettes and fags to be looked after than he would some more things.
But we need men that will stand for the truth against abortions, against homosexuality.
And all the perversion that this country's filled with. So you pray for that young man. And there might be, there's others, as a brother guy said, pray for them. Pray for the right people in the right place. And pray for Israel. It's peace, I think, in a minute. So we'll see how it goes. But we know, look, when this whole thing kicks off right and the mark of the beast comes in, don't you worry about it. If you've got the Holy Spirit, you're going. You are going and catching up. And the whole thing keep on running. We're going. Let's close our eyes tonight. Praise God. And if you want prayer, key and anyone, just lift your hand while we're closing our eyes. And God bless you. And God bless those that's listening in. And may the Lord help us to be abiding in him. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you tonight for the word of God. We thank you that your name is far above every other name. Both in heaven and on earth. Lord, there's none like you. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, I declare tonight again that you are absolutely the greatest of all Bible men. I love you with all my heart. I magnify your lovely name, Lord Jesus. I'm not afraid to call you my Lord and my Savior, my Master and Lord. Help us to live for you. Lord, for this young man we've mentioned tonight, I pray you'll bless him, strengthen him, keep him safe from all the wiles of the enemy. Keep your hand mightily upon him, I pray. Lord, you're the one that raises up. You're the one that brings down. We do pray for all those in authority for blessing and strength and protection. And we pray, Lord Jesus, tonight for Israel. Bless Israel and camp of them round about in Jesus' precious name. Father, for the hands raised to meet every need, bless each one in this fellowship tonight that's here and maybe some that couldn't be here. We pray again. We do remember the backslider tonight. Father, move on the backslider tonight, wherever they're at. Speak to them. Move upon them. Bring them closer to your own self. Restore them, we pray. And Father, we know that the rapture's soon to take place. Oh God, we do pray sincerely tonight for our sons, for our daughters, for the husband, for the wife, the niece, the nephew, the aunt, the uncle. All that's near and dear to everyone in this house. We plead the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on them wherever they are right now. And we ask the Holy Spirit will go to work it upon them and save them. Bless our sister Winifred as well tonight. Touch her in her body. Minister on her and do bless Brother Laurie. Give him your strength. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that wee man. Such an encouragement, such a blessing. Keep your hand of mercy and grace upon him and touch Eiling and keep your hand on Eiling and Andre and any others that need your touch tonight. And Brother Brad and Brother Hard, have your way. And Andrew as well, Lord, keep your hand on all these, your people. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. And Brother Gary, come. We'll be back on Thursday night at 7:30. The Lord willing and the Lord's always willing. God bless you.
Yeah, man, I was thinking of a couple of older courses which have been a while from the singing, and I don't know if the children will know them. One of them was, there's no one like Jesus.
Amen.
And then the other one was, we George used to sing a string breaker, George, as my dad used to call him. He used to sing, my sins were flowing like a river when my Lord sanctified me. I don't, sure, Matthew, do we have the words to that little course? It's in the key of F, if we can try and join in. My sins were flowing like a river. My Lord sanctified me. My sins were flowing like a river. My Lord sanctified me. Bring it glory, hallelujah, when the fire came down.
Sing another chorus, praise God. The love of Jesus is so wonderful. Praise God. So high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it, and so wide you can't get around it. Oh, what wonderful love.
The love of Jesus.
God, to bless our going. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again this evening for the preaching of your word and of a truth, Lord. There is no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are indeed the greatest of all Bible men. Lord, there never has been a man could ever come close to you, never been compared to you. For Lord, you are every way unique and special and worthy of glory, honor, and praise. And Lord, you're worthy of all our affections. You're worthy of all our praise. You're worthy of all our thanksgiving. You're worthy of all our adoration. All our service belongs to you too. Lord Jesus Christ, we love you because you first loved us. Lord, there never has been a man to whom so many songs have been written about and written for. No other man has had so many sermons preached about him and preached for him than you. Lord, there's no name that's been proclaimed like the name of Jesus. Lord, indeed, you give him a name which is far above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess, whether the things in earth or things under the earth or things in the heavens, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, we praise you this evening, Lord, and we love you, Lord. Help us to appreciate you, and help us never, Lord, to set another man up on your level, Lord, for indeed you are a jealous God, and you will not give your glory to another. Lord, we realize by the power of your own word, you have set us free. We thank you, Lord, by the power of your own word, you created the earth, the heavens, the universe, and everything that in them is by your word and by your power. Lord, all things were created for you and by you, Lord. And Lord, without you, nothing exists. Lord, we bless your name this evening. Lord, bless the pastor who shared your word this evening, Lord, and restoring him virtue. And I pray, Lord God, concerning the things that's on his heart, I pray, Lord, you'll speak to him. Lord, minister afresh to him, Lord, and reveal, Lord, your word to him, Lord, afresh in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, grant the opportunity for time to draw aside, Lord, to seek your face, Lord, not only in our pastor's life, but also in each and every one of our lives. Lord, that we'll spend time to draw nigh to you, to wait upon you, Lord, to hear what you would say to us, Lord, to speak to us, Lord, especially those that would minister here in the name of Jesus Christ, that we could, Lord, minister to the people, and Lord, that we would hear from heaven. Lord, again for our brother Bram, pray indeed that you'll bring him back again, strengthen him in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we appreciate, Lord, the men of God that you've used, Lord, the times you've spoken to us. And Lord, we just pray, Lord God, you'll help us even at this time, Lord, to lay up our treasure as if it were in a storehouse, Lord, the word of God and the sound teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. Even as Joseph, Lord, prepared for a time of famine, and Lord, the grain was stored up. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for even grain that's been stored for this day. And we pray, Lord God, you'll help us to eat of that grain which you have provided and preserved for us in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, just part us now with your blessing, which maketh rich and out of no sorrow, in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. And bless each one and encourage each one. And Lord, help us, Lord, to celebrate and go knowing in the knowledge of the joy of the Lord is our strength. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, we'll just sing a chorus as we leave. We'll be back again on Thursday at 7:30 for the prayer and Bible study. Praise God. Come and go with me to my Father's house where there's joy, real joy. Amen. Lord bless us. We pray.